A 96% eclipse just isn't as magical as the total eclipse, I don't think. Like, we were right there on the cusp, but it just, I was like, oh, I guess it's over. I guess it's past the maximum amount of eclipidness. You like how I'm making up words like you?
Here, let me be like you. Eclipidness is not the word. It's eclipse. Okay. Mic check. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
From sibling rivalry to sibling raillery, Hannah and Gary are ordinary siblings on the quest to build extraordinary lives. Join the conversation and good-humored banter as they explore the highs, lows, middle ground moments, and laughable lessons along the personal growth journey.
Hello, and welcome to the Gary and Hannah Show. This voice goes out to all the ladies out there.
Especially Mary.
Especially Mary.
Great. Now our whole podcast is about to go viral. Does that happen? Do podcasts go viral?
I don't know. TikToks do.
If they didn't before, they will now.
You know I've gone viral TikTok.
I know you have, actually. How does that feel? I've been meaning to ask you, what does it feel like to be...
Well, I mean, it feels like my normal life.
Yeah.
But my daughter was super popular for a full week or so at school.
Oh, that's exciting.
She was the only one viral at the school. So.
Oh, yeah.
But it was because of me.
Yeah. Doesn't really matter what it's from. It just matters that you achieve that status. My kids get real... freaked out anytime I do something that might be a tiny bit embarrassing, and so I can't do stuff like that. I mean, with them.
So they don't see all your other stuff?
Oh, they do. We have fights. We have, like, full-on fights at home. Not really with Lexi. With Jonah, we have fights because he just doesn't like the possibility of somebody seeing or hearing something. Even though it's like, nobody cares. Nobody's paying attention to your mom. Your friends aren't my followers.
As far as you know.
Well.
All right, what are we talking about today?
You want to talk about the eclipse?
No.
A 96% eclipse just isn't as magical as the total eclipse, I don't think. Like, we were right there on the cusp, but it just, I was like, oh, I guess it's over. I looked at my watch. And I was like, oh, I guess it's past the maximum amount of eclipidness. You like how I'm making up words like you?
Here, let me be like you. Eclipidness is not the word. It's eclipse.
Your face. I wish we had a video right now. Oh, goodness.
We had a good training this week. Let's talk about that.
On Friday?
Whenever it was.
That was last week, not this week.
It was last week, Gary, not this week. This week just started yesterday.
You have to stop.
Wow.
That's the funniest thing.
I don't know why Jonah might be wanting you not to talk.
You're so mean. Oh my gosh, I'm crying.
Did you say right now? You're talking about 2 minutes ago. I apologize for Hannah.
Oh, my stomach hurts.
Yeah. Is it your stomach or your abdomen? Anyways, Hayden Riggs with Keller Williams came and gave us a good training on Friday of last week. That defined coaching is really good. It's just about doing the things we've already been talking about. But what I did like is it was a lot of stuff that we're doing on our team, so that was good, and it was some refreshing, just new ways of packaging some of it, and he's really funny and delivered really well and kept us engaged. I really did have a good time.
I thought he was fantastic, and I really thought it was interesting how many things he talked about that we've covered on our first few episodes.
Yeah, how about that?
It was interesting.
Please don't turn the paper loud enough that it can be heard on the microphone. Now people are going to think you have paper in your hand.
So define why. What are you building and why are you building it?
Yeah. Let's just talk about that. Let's talk about our whys. Why are we doing what we do? What is it that keeps you going? Because one of the things we talk about on our team is keeping your goals in front of yourself regularly. Because if you don't look at them on at least a weekly basis or even more, you may forget what your goals were. Go through, let's create your goals, your 1 year, your 5 year, your 10 year. What do you want to be doing? Do you want to be, what you want to have, what you want to do, those types of things. And you get in the zone and you write it all down and then you never look at it again. So how do you know if you're even working in the right direction?
Yeah, I did this program years ago when I was in my 20s. It was called Body for Life. And one of the things they had you do during that program was to write your goals out as if you've attained them.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was that loud? Body for Life. I apologize.
So we were doing, I did Body for Life and...
Interrupting probably that, sir.
What are you, an interrupting what? Try it again.
Interrupting having a stroke at the same time. Back to Body for Life. Quit interrupting.
Body for Life, it's a fitness competition. And so one of the things they do is they have you write down your goals, not as I want to, but I will. So I will do this. Mm. I will do this. And you put them by your bedside and you read them every morning and every night. And I had a great deal of success on that particular program. And I mean, I would assume part of it was because of having those goals right in front of us. And it's like, it reminds you and it reinvigorates you. And that is what the difference is we've got our thoughts and our plans and our goals there. But if you don't look at them every day and write them out, it's so easy to lose track of what we're doing because everything's coming in and taking our attention.
There's classes we've all been to. We've gone to the seminars. We get all fired up. We come back home. I want to do this. And 2 weeks later, you're no different than you were when you started because you just lost your fire because you're not keeping it in front of you. You know, or you do actually get busy working and then you quit doing the things that created the work. So as soon as that work's gone, then there's nothing there lined up for the next one. So it's super easy to drift out of staying focused. If you can't keep your focus, you're not going to get anything going because I'm a firm believer that what you focus on is what expands in your life, period. So if it's TikTok, then you're going to be focusing on watching your phone and not getting anything else done. Focused on building a business, then you're going to notice all the things that are business-wise, or you'll be listening to the business podcasts or paying attention to the people that are doing business. If you're trying to get in shape, you're going to be reading and looking at all the health and fitness books and the documentaries on that.
By the same token, if you focus on things that are positive and bring you energy and the things that you're excited about, then you're going to think on those things and you're going to notice those things. But if you're focusing on what's negative or what's bothering you about somebody, or he said that last week on the training that anger attracts anger. Yep. And it's because your focus becomes on that. It's your reticular activating system, like
yeah,
where your
but
brain
even more than that, I think it goes deeper than that with the spiritual stuff. Like the way it is explained one time that I really liked was that spiritually speaking, we emit a fragrance. So if you put 200 people in a room within an hour, the gossipers have found each other, the victims and abusers have found each other, the people that are wanting to do big things have found each other, and it doesn't take any time at all because there's just an attraction out there that you can't see.
Uh-huh.
But we emit those things, and so what's going on inside you is what's going to attract stuff around you.
Yeah.
And I've watched that for a long time, and I've participated in all different types of crap, whether I've been in an angry space or a really good space or a lazy space, and you'll find the people that are just like that, or you'll find those people and you're not that way and you'll become that way.
Oh yeah,
you gotta watch that too.
Yeah, one of the things that I try to do is asking myself questions at the end of the day, asking myself, what did I learn today? How was I a giver today? How did I help somebody today? What am I glad happened today? Just some positive things to think back on the day. And then starting in the morning, setting my intention with what gives me joy? How can I give someone else joy? today? How can I bring joy to somebody? Who needs encouragement today, and how can I encourage them? That's really, that one goes back to just, it's a very personal one because it's part of my calling and mission is to bring encouragement, bring refreshing to the depleted. And so I look for those who might need to know that they're seen when they feel unseen.
You have to be careful to be able to recognize that and sew into it, but not partner with that.
What do you mean?
Well, so we used to do some homeless outreach and stuff like that, and it's real easy sometimes to see some of the people doing the ministry taking on the offenses of those they're ministering toward, and pretty soon they've got a chip on their shoulder and they can't bring life to people. They're coming into agreement with what they probably need freedom from rather than agreement with, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so what I mean is, like, I just ask myself, who needs encouragement today, and then do I need to, like, write them a note or something, you know, write an encouraging note or something. But I agree that you do have to be intentional if you're called to certain people groups, because we just talked about you become like who you surround yourself with. And so if you have a calling toward those who are downtrodden, you have to be really intentional about connecting with God and coming from a place where you're connected with Him to minister, not coming from yourself and then being apt to carry the weight of what other people are dealing with. Let's talk about that for a minute. Let's talk about gifts, because this is an interesting thing that I never understood. What?
I love gifts.
Yeah, I don't mean that kind of gift. Like, I'm not a gift to unwrap right now. Although I guess it is kind of symbolically you're unwrapping it as you go in life. So I should write a Facebook post on that.
Yeah, with 7,000 words. When Hannah writes a Facebook post, it stops her after so many words and says that's all you can write.
You're not lying. I used to think, oh, this comes pretty naturally to me. I didn't ever realize, like, things that come naturally to me don't necessarily come naturally to everyone else, and vice versa. Like, you have certain gifts that come very naturally to you, and so because you operate in your gift, you don't realize, like, that's a gift. Like, not everybody could do that. Not everybody can see the things that you're seeing or feel. What does that make sense, what I'm saying?
And it does. I know what you're saying.
You think the people who are listening understand what I'm saying?
Well, I don't know who's listening.
Okay, probably nobody. I mean, the whole world. I mean,
yeah, if you would, listener out there, send us a email,
listener.
And let us know if you understood that. Hopefully you have the gift of understanding what the heck Hannah's talking about.
that is a gift in itself.
I'm just playing. No, yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. So one time we had an unsolved murder. That's when I was on the PD. And then we had our ministry school. So I gathered up a bunch of people from school, and we went over to the alley where this person was killed at, and it was a mess. Man, there's trash everywhere and all that. So we decided to go clean up the alley, pray over the place, see what we could do to, who knows, maybe we unlock something, maybe we find something that's been in the dirt for a while, who knows. But it was also a spiritual effort to assist the police department. And of course, it was me and a bunch of women. And they were all older than me, and obviously not the best part of town because someone had been murdered in the alley some few months before. So we went over there and we cleaned it up. And at one point I look up and I'm seeing one of the ladies just working her butt off, grabbing stuff, hustling around, doing this, completely bold, no worries. And my internal dialogue was like, Lord, I feel like I'm cheating at this because I've been through the PD. I've got a gun on me. And, like, these are the places I feel called to go, but I've been trained up in it, and I like being in these dark areas. And so I felt like the Lord told me right then that, like, hey, why do you think you've been through the police department? Maybe that's why you were there, so you could be trained up in these areas. And I thought, well, yeah, but this gal's just, she's so bold out here doing all this stuff, and doesn't faze her at all. And had I not been through this, I don't know if I'd be that way or not. Mm-hmm. I told her that some long time later, and she's like, oh my gosh, oh, I didn't know it was dangerous over there.
Oh, because that's
and
her
I
gift.
Was like, okay. I was like, okay. So wow. She wasn't being bold. She was just absolutely oblivious. I mean, I don't know why the murder didn't kick anything off in her brain, but it was just interesting.
That is a great example of what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's another thing. I always thought it was because of the police department. Oftentimes I could walk into a room and kind of get a vibe of what's going on. Like, I could tell if somebody's got something happening with them or not.
Uh-huh,
or,
same.
And I think it's easy because I think it's all over them. And then there's other cops walk in the room and wouldn't even have a clue. Of course, later, I understood that there's a discerning of spirits there. that as a gift.
Uh-huh. That's exactly the example I was thinking of for myself. When I walk in a room, I can feel the energy of a room. I can feel energy off of people, and I can really tell if somebody has some kind of grief in their heart or something burdening them. And I used to think that that was just something that everybody can see and feel off of people. And the thing that I learned was having a merciful heart is a gift, like a mercy spirit is a gift, to be able to feel what other people are feeling. And so for me, one of the things that was important about that was learning, because I'm also then susceptible. It's exactly what you were talking about earlier when you said you have to be careful if you're called to certain places or to work with people who are downtrodden. Sometimes you end up carrying some of that burden. Well, it's exactly that. Like sometimes I'll get, my mood will get super funky and I don't know what it is. And it's actually because I'm wearing something that somebody near me has, like emotionally. And I have to really pay attention to whether I'm feeling my feelings or I'm feeling somebody else's feelings right now. Cause it's a strong thing for me. And it's one of those things, just like your goals and stuff you got to keep in front of you. That's something I have to remind myself of, because if I lose track of it, I can just shift back and forth in terms of how I'm feeling. It's probably why I was so moody as a kid. Cause you were moody as a kid. And really, well, I was just picking up on all your sadness and weirdness as a kid.
Well, I was just going to say, every time you come over here and start setting up, it's like for some reason, I all of a sudden feel like a mouth-breathing booger eater that just wants to lick windows.
You're such a dork.
Oh, God. Snozzberries taste like snozzberries. Have you seen that?
Yes.
Super Troopers?
Yes.
Yeah. That's what I feel like sometimes when you come over, and I didn't realize it, but now I know.
It's me. It's all me.
Just picking up on your personality.
Yeah, and I just feel like a...
badass. I just feel like someone that doesn't use good grammar. Doesn't know what week it is.
Probably that's why I was making up words earlier.
Could be. You might have me there. Commercial break. Do you have an annoying sister that maybe the elevator doesn't go all the way to the top? Well, this item is for you. The Hannah Holmes Delta 8 gummies. When you get around your sister, maybe she's like a Hannah Holmes, and you just got a deal, pop one of these gummies, eat the whole thing. And you'll go off into oblivion and relax, and then all of those neat things she has to say and all the corrections she has and all the control she has for you just fly out the window, and you just have a great life. Okay, back to the show.
Are you promoting drugs?
It's Delta 8. It's legal.
Oh, okay.
I got it here in town. Well, legally in town. They got all of the drugs in town.
We're talking about keeping things in front of you that need to
stay in front of you.
Stay in front of you in order for you to stay focused on the thing. Maybe we need a script in front of us. We're off the rails sometimes.
Okay, so what's your why? What is something you need to remind yourself of? Okay, and don't make it something cheesy. Like, what is your why? Don't just say, my family's my why. Everybody's family's their why.
Well,
why
you're just going to have to...
Why is your family your why?
Do the
about that?
Seven levels deep why, then.
Ooh, go for it.
My family.
Why?
Because
why?
I want to take care of them.
Okay, why? Keep going. I don't want to keep asking you why.
Okay. Man, I don't like being put on the spot with this because I'm not attached enough to my why. It's something I'm struggling with these days.
Well, that's a good reason we're here.
Yes.
Welcome to the process, y'all.
This is the process. This is the part of the process that drives me bananas. I did like how they worded it in that define training, which is, what are you building and why are you building it? I'm building wealth and financial freedom so that I am not constrained when it comes time to help people. Like, it truly makes me sick to my stomach to have to tell my kids we can't do something because it's not in the budget, or especially this most recent season that's been the most financially difficult season in mine and Jeremy's life together. It sickens me when I see my friends going through heartache or tragedy, and I want so desperately to be able to just, without reservation, be like, your needs are taken care of and I don't want you to think about it again. Like, it is deep on my heart to be able to do that, and to feel like I can't even send $100 to somebody is, for me, that is a why for me. Like, I get emotional because I just want to help people and I don't like being constrained by that. And I also have a why, which is for my kids to know that you can build a financially free, wealthy life that doesn't look like, oh, we just wait until the next paycheck comes. And we work, and then we retire. And for me, that was something, that was a whole reason I moved into real estate, was because I was working for CPS, and that's a season that some people are called to, and I love that. And also for me, it was that I'm so wound tight that I'm a type A, and so there is a really big amount of workload with that. And if there are I's to be dotted and T's to be crossed, I will make sure the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. And there were so many that I was working constantly trying to help these families and these kids, and then I had nothing left at the end of the work week or the end of the day to give to my own family. And I realized everything is flipped on its head right now. Like, I committed to be a wife, I committed to be a mom, and my whole life is about pouring into these other families and neglecting my own.
Mm-hmm.
Because I give it all away and then I don't have anything left to give. And so my why is to be able to build a life worth living with my family. Every time I start to go back to maybe going back to work for a traditional 40-hour a week job, I go back to the thought of, gosh, I won't be able to go to all my kids' games.
Mm-hmm.
I won't be able to show up and to take them to the things, to pick them up from school. And those days are almost over anyways. And so just having that, those are some of my whys. I mean, I've got a lot, but I guess I have a stronger why than I thought.
Yeah, so what do you do or what are you going to do moving forward to keep that on the forefront when you start drifting?
Well, I need to write it down. And like we were talking about with that body for life thing, I need to just write it down and look at it every mm-hmm. single morning and every night to keep on track. Don't do that because it's going to pick up on the microphone.
Oh my gosh.
I'm serious. I know you don't believe me, but it's the one thing that, like, anything that
somebody
touches
get
the table,
me a Delta 8 or whatever it's called.
Anything that touches
get
the
me
table.
Two of them. Sorry, I touched the table with my fingertips.
So, I don't know if you've ever seen the Momentum Group videos, but they're notoriously not super well planned out. I don't know if that's the right word.
I believe she's vaguely trying to talk trash about our videos.
It's their thing. I just remember when I was on their team, the first time we ever did a video, we were done and I was like, oh, are we going to re-record that? And y'all were like, no, we're not going to re-record that. So we have a different idea. I feel like you're bringing some of that Momentum Group flavor into the podcast and not...
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I love Momentum Group's flavor. I just want a podcast that doesn't have annoying sounds that people don't want to listen to while they're listening. They want to hear your voice.
I'm sorry, I have to breathe.
Most of the time, they want to hear your voice.
Oh my gosh.
Sometimes not, though.
Yeah, I think maybe they're ready to hear mine instead of yours right now.
Do you ever get your panties in a wad? Commercial break. Do you ever get your panties in a wad? Well, Gary does. And
it's supposed to be commercial break, then panties in a wad.
I was going to just edit that part out, but now I'm not. Well, now there's the panty iron. Just iron out those panties. Anytime you get your panties in a wad, anytime your friends do, you just whip out that iron and take care of business. Back to the program.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, so now I'm totally off track where we were.
We're talking about our why.
Oh, yeah.
And what we're going to do is put it in front of us. So what's your why?
My family.
Why?
I'm just kidding. No, for me... my why is also my goal, really, but it's family, friends, God, and legacy, really. I have a bad habit of never feeling like I'm doing it well enough. Like, I'm never where I think I should be, which
That's probably because you put God third and not first.
That's my fingers on the table. I hope y'all hear that. Anyways, but I do understand the whole gap and gain, looking backwards instead of forwards. But I want to build an inheritance for my family and my friends. I just want to be able to give. I mean, it's the same, really. I just want to be able to give. I like being boots on the ground and helping people, but I also want to buy houses for people when their house burns down. We had fires a few years ago, and I knew some people that didn't have any insurance, and I would have loved to have been able to just say, hey, your house is being built. Design it. Here's your budget. Mm-hmm. Get after it. It's kind of like you can do lots of things. You can get out there and hit the streets and work, and that I want to do that, but I also wouldn't mind buying the vehicles for the ministries to be able to go do that. So I want to be able to do that. I also want to be able to just bless my family. I want to be able to do some of the things I want to do. There's things I like. I love cool stuff. I want to be able to do that. And I want my kids to have an inheritance where they know where it came from and they know how it was built. And they know that it's not always easy, but they also are paying attention to what I'm doing. There's no plan B. I've got to win. Mm-hmm. So that they will understand that they too can win if they so choose to go this path or whatever path they're on.
It's hard when you're first building something because we see people who have already built it and who have arrived or who are walking in financial freedom that we're talking about. And then you start doing something like we've done where we're both trying, and there's seasons where it's really hard. I was talking to a friend recently whose dad was a successful entrepreneur, and her husband was having some problems getting his business off the ground, and she was getting frustrated, and her dad pulled her aside and was like, hey, you saw me after I had already built my business. What you didn't see were the years mm-hmm. of grueling and building that were very, very difficult. And so my kids are going to see the difficult. And that's, I guess that's another part of the why is like, I cannot fail, or like you said, cannot not win. We just have to win, because I refuse for my son to see that Mom tried to do all this stuff, but she couldn't do it. So maybe it's not as possible as right. she'd like to think, or that I think. Of course, he's a different breed himself. I don't think he'd let that stop him at all. He's the kind of person that's just got greatness coursing through his veins, because he just knows what he wants and he's going after it no matter what anybody else is doing. Mm-hmm. But all of that said, I don't want to ever leave anything on the table so that then it's like, oh, never mind. I mean, entrepreneurship isn't for everybody, but you can attach to your why no matter what it is that you're doing.
Sure. Well, yeah.
I think something that's important, if we're going to add practicality to this, is just helping people understand ways to connect with your why. Because like you just said earlier, kind of joking, don't just say something cheesy. Don't just say, my family is my why. And so there may be some people listening right now who may feel like what I voiced at first, which is like, I don't really know what my why is. So sure. A way to get to the bottom of that is, if you have a why that, and you say like, oh, it's my family, you do exactly what we were just talking about, where you go to another level and you ask another question. Like,
yeah, that's good.
But why? Okay, well, it's my family because I want us to be able to go to college. Okay, why? So anybody who's listening and needs help kind of connecting with that, start with whatever is on the surface. But you got to get to the part where it puts you in your feels, when your why starts creating yeah. something in your, like even when we were talking about it, I said I didn't know what my why was, but when I started talking about it, I actually got choked up, because that's a why that's really connected to my heart. And when you find the why that's connected to your heart, it's gonna pull on your heartstrings, and that's when you know that you found it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, the why is important. And if you don't have the why, then you're not going to really go anywhere. You know, I mean, you can have some goals. You can say, hey, I want to make as much money as I can, which is a goal of mine. But if I don't have a reason to fight for that when things start sucking, then I'll just go on to something else. Mm-hmm. If you want to get in shape, that's awesome. Start getting in shape. But if it gets hard and you don't have a real reason why you want to do that, then you'll go right back to where you started.
That's right. Or, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Or you'll get into shape, and then if you don't have that deep why, it's just like, oh, this is just a checkbox because mm-hmm. I wanted to get in better shape. But
now, in 4 months, I'll be worse than I was when I started, and then I'll start the whole conversation with myself again. I need to lose weight. My belief system is I need to lose weight, so my brain will always make it to where I need to lose weight.
Uh-huh.
So you'll always stay fat
until you change your belief system. That's an interesting thing there.
Mm-hmm.
How do you change that?
You got to change your belief system. So you got to know what the lie is, what you're believing that's not true. Like, I don't need to lose weight. My goal is this, and that's what I'm going to shoot for. And I think that's the thing with most people that constantly battle their weight is if you talk to them, they'll always tell you, I need to lose weight. Mm-hmm. Well, that's because it's an ingrained belief in their brain is that they need to lose weight. If that's your belief, your brain will not let you operate outside of your belief system.
Yeah, so once you get to a point where you don't quote-unquote need to lose weight anymore, you'll just gain weight so that you need to lose weight again.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly.
Wow. I had never actually heard that before. That's a really interesting...
I mean, if you think about it, that's true.
You don't say very much that's that profound, but Gary, that was profound. Thank
you're
you.
Welcome. But that's with all of your belief systems. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I mentioned it early on, but one of the belief systems I really know that I had to break down was that spiritually I'm not right if I'm desiring to make money, even though I know in my brain that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
But I just had to come to the realization that it's okay for me to want to pursue whatever I want to pursue. If it's, you know, I don't want to pursue things that are anti-kingdom stuff, but money is not anti-kingdom. Now, if I put that over the Lord, then sure, but that's not what I'm talking about.
We're doing a sermon series that we just started. We just talked about the fact that we look for certain things to find satisfaction, different things that we use to find happiness or satisfaction. And position was one of them, like your status. Money was one of them. It wasn't money. It was like, anyway... The whole point of that is like what you're saying, it's okay to desire those things as long as you realize that's not what's going to satisfy. The only thing that's going to satisfy is Jesus. Like kingdom, seek the kingdom and his righteousness. And that's where we find the true blessing is when we're seeking him and his righteousness and we seek him with all of our heart. But all those other things aren't bad. It's just we cannot be finding our satisfaction in that. We cannot add more things, and expect that that's going to take us to a place of happiness.
It was not the things and whatnot. It was worrying about everybody else's thoughts on my things. And so it really boiled down to just not putting any energy into what everybody else wants to think about. If I buy something or I don't buy something, or if I go somewhere, whatever I want to do, I don't need to worry about that. But I will tell you this, when I was getting into that Z06 Corvette and pulling out of the driveway, I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was awesome because I like hot rods and fast mm-hmm. cars and I like motorcycles and I don't get all of my identity from that, but I've always liked that stuff. And if I want to buy something, mm-hmm. I'm going to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care if you don't like it or somebody else doesn't like it or they want to say something, because generally if they're saying something, that's something that's going on with inside them, not inside me.
Mm-hmm.
And if I catch myself trying to say something or have a thought about somebody with something they're doing, I need to check myself on why would that even bother me.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other aspect of that that I've noticed just recently, I've noticed a lot of trashing on people that are still in process.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to check our heart when we're looking at people that are succeeding and, okay, are we jealous? Why am I feeling an inclination to feel icky about something that they have or are doing?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the other side of that coin is, do I have grace and patience and compassion and encouragement for people who are thinking and doing some of the things that I was doing 6 months to 5 years ago?
Well, I think that's, yeah, we've talked about that before, kind of when it comes to how we relate to people. I'm not going to bash you.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it comes down to, if we're talking about brothers and sisters in the kingdom, or if we're talking about...
Well, I'm actually talking about like in business.
Yeah.
If you're high volume right now, are you scoffing at the people who just got in the business? And
I think most high volume people don't do that. I mean, there may be some, but I think that people running at high levels champion other people
mm-hmm.
to run at high levels. You got a wealth mentality is also abundant mentality. And it's also a mentality where you champion your fellow people to succeed as well. I want everybody to sell as much as they can and do as well as they can. Although we're in competition, I want to win, but I also want to see you win. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to win against you. I'm trying to win the goals in my life. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? For me to be bashing on you because you're winning or you're not winning as much as me, that's just asinine to me. That's bottom feeder mentality. That's what happens at the bottom. All the competition is at the bottom. It's not at the top. At the top, it's just a different place. Mm-hmm. And I'm not anywhere near the top. I wouldn't even say I'm even in the middle, but I will be. And everybody that comes through orientation at the association, new agents, I make sure they all have my phone number, and I tell them, hey, if you need anything that somebody's not there to help you with, you can call me at any time because I want you to succeed. You know, mm-hmm. people were there to help me when I started out, and I want to make sure that people don't have to go through that. That's an old school mentality, thinking that you have information that is power because you don't have any information that nobody else could find. And I think that there's people that suck that definitely succeed, but they still suck. You know, it's like, I'm glad you made $1 million and that's your idea of success, but you're still losing at life because you don't get it. Mm-hmm. It's not about your net worth. It's about what you contribute and how you take care of each other. Mm-hmm. I just happen to want a huge net worth.
Mm-hmm. Why?
I've already told you why.
Tell me again.
All of the things we've been over. I think we ought to wrap this bad boy up.
Oh, for sure. Good talk.
Yep.
We'll catch you the next time we have time to record because we're so busy winning at life right now and in business that it's hard to find time.
And cheering on all those others winning, not hating on them for winning.
Yeah.
We want to see you win too. We want to see everybody win. And winning looks different for everyone. That's important to understand. You can't expect somebody else's idea of winning or success to be yours because they're all different and that's all good. Right?
Yep. So are we wrapping this up or what? You said let's wrap it up and now you're
still
talking.
That was a wrap-up statement and I'm appreciative.
Oh, that's a good wrap-up. Stop tapping the table. Follow us.
Yeah, follow us, comment, like, share.
Share on social media, share to your friends.
Bye.
Bye.